Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. And online, we're live at kpcg.fm. Have a live link at thetrumpet.com. In a recent program, we looked at how God prophesied in His holy word that scoffers would come in the last days. So people would hear the message of God, they'd be warned from God's apostle and prophet, and they would scoff at it. They'd have a mocking attitude. But they are going to hear that warning. And when they do hear it, and people do mock it, and they scoff, that is a sign that we are indeed living in the last days. You can see this in 2 Peter 3. And if you have a Bible, it'd be great to take it out and take a look at this with me and make sure that the words match up. 2 Peter 3 in verse 3 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." So here we have people that are in an attitude of scoffing, and their big concern in life is going after what they want, lusts. They're not concerned with the word of God. Verse 4 continues, "And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." So they have this attitude of looking around and saying, well, things look to be the same as they always were, and they think things will never change. But of course, things do change. Time moves on, and prophecies are fulfilled. Today, let's continue to look at what God said the attitudes of people would be like in these last days. And as we go through this, see if you can identify these attitudes in the world. Is this what the world seems like today? Look for it for yourself. It's a proof of where we are in Bible prophecy. And then, as we'll see in the second part of today's program, God's prophecies have not failed, and they never do. Now, the fact that people are scoffing means that they are also receiving God's warning message. They're scoffing at the message, so they're hearing it. And we can see this if we look in Hosea 5. If we go back to the Old Testament and we see what Hosea recorded. Hosea 5 and verse 8 says, "Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah, and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud in Beth-Aven after you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be." So God has made it known through His apostles and prophets what things would be like, what would surely be. And so the tribes of Israel are primarily the United States and Britain, along with the other nations identified in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And you can find that book for free at thetrumpet.com. And it'll take you step by step through the Bible and show you the modern identity of the tribes of Israel. And these prophecies apply to these tribes. And here in verse 8 of Hosea 5, as we read, this warning message is going out. Blow the cornet. Blow the trumpet. Of course, the Trumpet magazine is the flagship magazine of the Philadelphia Church of God. The Trumpet radio station that you're listening to is the radio station of the Philadelphia Church of God. The Trumpet Daily Radio Program, the Trumpet Hour, all of those programs, they're helping to do this, to blow the trumpet. That's why it's called Trumpet Radio. It's giving a warning message, and it's supporting a warning message. And so you can see that people are hearing this message. They're listening to it. They're watching it. They're reading it. But there are too many that are scoffing at it. God has given His warning message, and He's giving it. He continues to give it today. He's given it in the past, and it continues now. But of course, most people still have this attitude of scoffing at the warning. Let's notice something in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 in verse 8 says, "Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." So where have these prophecies been recorded that we're looking at? Well, they've been written in a book. They've been written in a Bible. And of course, Isaiah is one of the books of the Bible. Isaiah wrote it down. These prophecies are recorded for what purpose? So we could read them and we can understand them today. And even for those that scoff at it, it still is a warning message for them. God's warning message comes through his apostles and prophets, and it's revealed from the pages of the Bible. So Isaiah was told to write the warning down. Why did he have to write it down? Well, so that at our time today, this time to come or the last days, we could read it and we could understand it. And hopefully, there will be people that heed it, and some will. So notice what Isaiah said people would be like in these last days. And again, is this a sign that we're in the last days when people have an attitude like we're going to read? Look around, see what you think. Do people have this attitude? It says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the eternal, which say to the seers, the prophets in other words, see not, and to the prophets prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. There are people today that claim to be ministers for God, but they don't teach the truth of God, they teach smooth things. They say, well, after all, if I were to teach the truth of God, people wouldn't come to the church service, or people would be upset. And society is changing, isn't it? Things that were not accepted 30 years ago are today not only accepted, but encouraged. And so what do you see? Well, some ministers changing what they say, accepting certain practices that the Bible forbids, speaking smooth things. They're speaking for hire. They're being paid. And so to keep their pay coming in whatever way they receive it, they have to speak what the people want. But that's not what God says to do. And so do we see that attitude today in society among the people where they say, don't prophesy to us right things, speak unto us those smooth things? Well, the smooth things sound better. They make people feel better about themselves. But it doesn't change the reality that God's laws are being broken and that there is a punishment for breaking God's laws. So what punishment comes when there's this lawless attitude? Well, continue here in Isaiah. And again, we can see what God says, Isaiah 30. And here he is in talking in verse 12 and verse 13. He said, wherefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel. So you hear me say it and you read it out of the Bible, but this is God talking. Thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. This is quite a word picture. Maybe you've seen something like this on a building, or maybe some other construction, where it looks okay, but there's sort of a bulge there, and there's sort of a swelling, and maybe you can't quite see where it's breaking apart yet, but there's a little bit of a change in the building, and all of a sudden it falls, it breaks, and it's sudden when it does. The wearing down of that part of the construction's taken time, but when it falls, it's sudden. Well, isn't that our society today? Where people are changing their attitudes and they're thinking about very, very serious sins that the Bible condemns, that God condemns, and they're saying, it's not such a big deal. I want to hear more about those smooth things. Tell us that we're doing the right thing. Tell us that God says it's okay to live against his word. And of course it's not okay to live contrary to God's word. That wouldn't make any sense. And so this attitude and this rebellion and this lawlessness and this scoffing, and it's a swelling in the wall, and it breaks suddenly. It will break suddenly, and at that point it's too late. Nothing can be done. And that's what we're like as a society today. That's what it's like in the modern nations of Israel. And notice 1 Thessalonians 5. And again, if you're not able to get to all these scriptures as we're reading them, Maybe write them down or go back and check them later. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3 says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Another fantastic word picture. You know, we've all seen women that are about ready to have children, and maybe we've experienced that in our own families, and all of a sudden, here's a baby. We know it's going to happen, but it just happens in a sudden, you know, in an instant. Sometimes the delivery takes a while, the labor takes a while, but when that baby comes, there it is. It's going to come upon people quickly, this difficulty, this troubling time that Christ talked about in Matthew 24. Because of this attitude of mocking God's prophecies, mocking and scoffing God's warnings. And what do you see? Well, people say, look, we want to hear the smooth things, and then they say here, the leaders will say, well, peace and safety. The leaders might say that. You might see that in the media. Oh, peace and safety. Things are okay. We don't have anything to worry about. That sounds good. That is a smooth message that's easy to listen to. But it's not true. It's not according to God's prophecies. So you have to really pay attention to what God says and not what people say. One of the signs of the imminence of dire calamity in this world is the tendency to ignore and deny the trouble that's coming. People know there's trouble on the horizon. I think if they're paying attention to headlines, if you're looking at your news, you know there's trouble. You know there are problems on the horizon, yet it's easy to just sort of want to hide from it and bury our heads in the sand and not really face it because it's hard to face. And it means repentance. It means change. Facing up to some facts that are not so comfortable for us. Isaiah 28 says this in verse 22. "Now therefore be you not mockers." Okay, look, there are mockers in society. There are scoffers, but God says don't you be a mocker. Don't have the attitude of mocking. "Be you not mockers, lest your bands be made strong." That's talking about an enslavement. "For I have heard from the eternal God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth." Time of trouble. Why? Because of sin? Because of breaking God's law? Because of preaching smooth things and not telling the truth? And so what happens? Well, an attitude of mocking. But here in Isaiah 28 and verse 22, it says, don't you be a mocker. Don't you get into that attitude, because otherwise your enslavement's going to be quite strong. We have to beware the skepticism that we see in society today. It does rub off, and we have to be careful to avoid it and fight against it. For example, you can look at any walk of life, any subject in life. You know, maybe it's diet. One group says, well, this diet's the best. Another group says, well, that diet's the best. And people tend to get sick of the advertising, I suppose. You know, this pill will work, or try this. And they get sick of it. They don't want to see it anymore. And so they just get skeptical, and they say, oh, it's all a big scam. It's a lie. None of that's right. You can't trust anybody. You can trust the Word of God. You can believe the Word of God. God cannot lie. Man can lie. Satan lies all the time as a way of life. He is a liar and the father of it, but God does not lie. God does not lie. Don't have this attitude of mocking and scoffing. God's warning for this end time age have been recorded in the Bible, but because God seems just so unreal to most people, they simply assume the prophecies of the Bible are irrelevant, no consequence to them. Doesn't matter to me. I don't know what it's talking about, but it does matter to all of us. So what about us? What about our homes, our households, our families? Are we cynical, skeptical, unbelieving, don't care? Don't be. Believe God. Believe His words. Believe His prophecies. When we come back, we'll see that prophecy, God's prophecy, has not failed. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
V The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me today. In the first half, we were talking about the scoffing attitude that a lot of people have towards God's Word. And again, that's an attitude that we don't want to have. You don't have to have that. I don't have to have that. But it is an attitude in this world. And it is a sign of being in the last days, as the Bible calls it. So let's understand once and for all that prophecy has not failed. We don't need to be skeptical. There's not a prophecy of God that's ever failed. That's a strong statement. But you can prove it. There is not one prophecy of God that has ever failed. Every prophecy has a definite time setting. God knows exactly when to bring things about. And it's a time usually not in the prophet's own day. Remember, Isaiah was told to write it in a book for days to come, generations to come. One full third of the Bible is prophecy. And about 90% of that prophecy, it still pertains to this prophesied end time. Most of the prophecy is about today, the time you're living in and that I'm living in. And that's exciting. But there's a warning in it too. Let's take a look at Joel, the book of Joel. And he discusses pretty serious times that are coming upon this earth and see what these prophecies say. Joel chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. It says, "Hear this, you old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days or even in the days of your fathers?" So in other words, the time that he's describing that's going to come, he says, okay, look back at history and, you know, talk to people and look back at your records. And tell me if you've ever seen a day like this, the one that he's about to describe. He says, "Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation." So, in other words, keep talking about these prophecies until the time comes when God brings them to pass. God has a definite timetable. And then down in verse 15, here's what he's talking about. He says, "Alas for the day!" Exclamation point. Like, this is a serious, serious day to consider. "For the day of the eternal is at hand, the day of the Lord, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." There's destruction coming because of sin. Again, this isn't cruelty. It's because of the sins of mankind. And what does that destruction look like? What are we talking about here? What is so different about this day? Well, Joel describes it. You can read in verses 17 through 20 here. "The seed is rotten under the clod, their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. No food. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. The flocks of sheep are made desolate. Even the livestock have nothing to eat. They're groaning." And it says, "O eternal, to you will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned all the trees of the field." What's Joel talking about here? Is he talking about a wildfire? I mean, those are pretty devastating. And they do damage within a certain area. He's talking about a global problem. What kind of fire destroys crops and makes seed rot in the ground and lays waste to farmland. Nuclear fire does that. Nuclear fire. In verse 20, it says, the beasts of the field cry also unto you. They cry to God. They're begging for deliverance. For the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. That's what he's talking about. A time that's coming. He says, keep telling people about it until it comes to pass. He doesn't say mock it or here's a funny story. You should laugh at this one. He says, take this seriously and tell your children and make sure they tell their children and so on and so forth. Keep this prophecy alive in your mind and have it as a warning. When is this time going to occur? Well, Joel 3 says in verse 1, for behold, in those days, so when you see those days, you're talking about the end days, the last times, and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Again, you need the United States and Britain in prophecy to understand who all of these nations are. But the United States is involved. Of course, modern Israel, as it would be called over there and in Judah today, and Jerusalem. I mean, even just look at the city of Jerusalem today. Is it in captivity? Well, there's problems, but it's not in captivity. So there's a time coming when it's going to be in captivity along with other nations of Israel. Verse 2 says, I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So here's a time when Gentile nations have come. They have taken and scattered Israel, the people of Israel. They've scattered them among the nations and parted my land. America being split apart, people being taken. Does that sound outrageous in this modern society? Could that happen? Sure. That's what the prophecy says. Does that seem like something to scoff at? Well, sure, some will scoff. But that's not a funny story. It couldn't be more serious. Serious times. So this time frame, this time element is his last days. He's bringing all nations to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Armageddon. And you know what happens there. Christ returns, and he puts an end to man's warring. So this is right before Christ's return. You can see by the descriptive language here of going to the Valley of Jehoshaphat exactly what time period we're talking about. It is the time when God directly intervenes in world affairs, when he says, that's enough. Christ returns. Remember Matthew 24. He said, if he did not return and stop it, there would be no flesh saved alive. Joel was prophesying of the same days. Joel said, you tell your children and you tell your children's children, you keep telling them. And then when Christ came the first time, he was giving the same prophecies. He was doing what Joel said to do. He kept warning and he kept giving those prophecies. And then they need to be preached today. Remember, there's going to be a trumpet blown. There's going to be a warning. And yet many people scoff at it. But you don't have to be one scoffing at it. You can look in Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31, where it gets into talking about, again, the Christ describing what that time was going to be like. You know, the verse 30 says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Terrible time. It's a corrective time because of sin, because of wanting to hear smooth things. But after that correction, then it's the best time because God's government's here and it's ruling. And notice what happens in verse 31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. If you're faithful to God in this life and you support his work, and even if you happen to die in this life, when Christ returns, you're resurrected. And you reign with Christ. That's what he says. Those are the words of Christ. You don't hear that in very many places, but that's right out of Christ's own mouth. Matthew 24. The day of the Lord is mentioned in many prophecies of the Bible. and it always refers to the time when God will intervene in world affairs. That's the good news, culminating in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. God says in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, and you should look this up if you get a chance to, Isaiah 55 and verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." God's prophecies don't fail. They don't ever fail. Men fail. Just consider somebody that would scoff at God's word. How long do they live? Even if they live their normal lifespan, 70, 80 years maybe, and then they die, and their scoffing dies with them. But God's word goes on. God's prophecies go on. God fulfills them on his timetable, not according to men's timetable. If somebody scoffs at God's word, he doesn't say, "Oh, well, I better do it right now. I wasn't going to, but you know, since this guy's scoffing at me," God doesn't work that way. It's according to his timetable. And so we have to understand that God's prophecies do not fail. And God says that, look, my word, when it goes out, it doesn't come back empty. It does what I said. And you have to understand there is a warning message going out today. You can see that in Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. "Also," and this is verse 30, "also, you son of man, the children of your people still are talking about you," it should read, "by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, 'Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes from the eternal.'" This is a prophecy for today. There are people that listen to the Key of David program. They watch the Key of David. They read the books and booklets. And they're interested in the message and those supporting the message. And they're interested in that. They're coming and they're talking about what God's message is through his apostle and prophet. But then what do? It says, well, verse 31, "They come unto you as my people come. They sit before you as my people." And they watch the television or they listen to the radio or they read it. "And they hear the words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness." So you remember the scoffers that we read about earlier? Their heart went after their lusts. Well, here, people's hearts are going after their covetousness. They like the message. It sounds good. People are very interested in the prophecy. They're interested in what Joel recorded. They're interested in what Isaiah recorded. They're interested in what Christ said in Matthew 24. But their heart goes after their covetousness. They don't really want to do what God said. They like the prophecy, but they also like the smooth things and don't want to make changes. So that's the state a lot of people are in. You know, some are just flat out scoffing. Others maybe don't completely scoff, but heart still goes after their covetousness. But verse 35 says, "And when this comes to pass," these prophecies come to pass according to God's timing. And some already have, and you can go and look at that. We have a wonderful booklet on the proof of the Bible, and you can see how many prophecies have already been fulfilled, but there are more to come. It says, "And when this comes to pass, these prophecies are fulfilled, and lo, it will come," it says. Just as a side note, it will come, by the way. "Then shall they know that a prophet has been among them." I mean, if you watch the Key of David program, and if you listen to that Key of David program on the radio, or you see it on television or the internet, and you find it interesting, well, consider, is there a prophet speaking to you? I mean, are you hearing the word of God? Are these things coming to pass? It's worth noting. The Trumpet Magazine, are the things in there, can you see them happening? Most people today are tired of hearing bad news, as they would view it. Understandably, I mean, nobody likes bad news. But God's prophecies include bad news for those who rebel against him and they trample on his laws. That's just the reality. But these prophecies include a lot more, too. You know, it's not a negative. Although, yeah, a lot of the punishment, I mean, obviously it's negative. But it's so people get to know God. It's so their hearts stop going after their covetousness, and they start to go after God, and which is what he wants from all of us. And sometimes it takes a bit for us to understand that. But there's a lot of prophecies also right here that foretell a time of peace, of happiness, restoration of God's government, joy, great prosperity, physical wealth. Do you like money? Do you like possessions? There's nothing wrong with money and possessions as long as it's not put ahead of God. If it's used to serve God and do his work, it's tremendous, and God pours out blessings upon his work and those that support it. God is an abundant God, and he has everything to give, but we have to live his way. We have to live by every word of God. Micah 4, you can read that verses 1 through 4. But verse 4, we'll just pick this up here. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Eternal of hosts has spoken it. That's what life's going to be like after Christ returns for those that are on this earth and humans. Every man under his vine and fig tree. You're going to have a plot of land, be able to work it, nice farm or whatever his livelihood is. He'll be able to have his space. And nobody's going to make them afraid. They're not going to be in terror of the tax man, of the bank, of invading force, of the creditors that are coming looking for their pay, crime, violence. Nobody's going to be afraid anymore. Doesn't that sound like a good time? Have you ever been afraid? Are you afraid right now? In terms of things scaring you in life. We all face that at times. But here's a time when it's not going to be that way. And no one's going to be afraid anymore. We have to understand that prophecy hasn't failed because it either has already happened in some cases, but in many cases, it's about to happen. It's happening here in the near future. These prophecies in Joel and Ezekiel are soon to come to pass. Don't get into the attitude of being cynical and think that, oh, they've failed. That was a prophecy and didn't happen. Well, it didn't happen yet, because that time's not fulfilled yet. They are about to be fulfilled. The bad and the amazingly great prophecies. I mean, bad in the sense that, look, there is some bad news, but there's amazing news. And they're all about to be fulfilled. If you respond to God and obey him and support his work, you can be spared, saved, protected from the trouble to come, and then blessed immeasurably in the soon coming kingdom of God, and even today. Lots of wonderful, wonderful things to consider in God's prophecies. That's all the time we have for today on Live By Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. And make sure that you check out the archives of Live By Every Word and all of our programs online at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live By Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.